I don't know if you know him. He's a member of the British Parliament, or was. And once he was giving a group of his constituents a guided tour of the House of Parliament. And during the course of the visit, the group happened to meet Lord Hailsham, then the Lord Chancellor, wearing all the regalia of his office. Hailsham recognized Neil Martin among the group and cried, "Neil!" Not daring to question or disobey this man wearing such regalia and command, the entire group of visitors promptly fell to their knees. I find the word obey has a weird understanding in our modern day culture. Some find it completely offensive and believe it to have been misused for centuries for corrupting authority, for abusive husbands, tyrant leaders, and exercising power over the innocent and children. I think one of the struggles in life is to be a fair person, especially if you're put in leadership. It means that when you do exercise power, you have to also exercise restraint. You must approach power with a humble and a submissive heart to God to keep yourself in check so that you do not abuse the power entrusted to you. I don't know when you look back over your life, but the teachers that had the most influence on me, anyway, my personality type, were when I first came into a class and I would sit down and the teacher would come across kind of very strict. Do you remember those teachers? Where they kind of said, "This is the way it's going to be, and you have to do blah, 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 and if you don't, blah, 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 blah," right? And they were very scary. I mean, at first, you know, because you're like, wow, they have a lot of high expectations, right? They're intense. But something inside of me, my personality, responded in kind. I took them more seriously because they expected I would. They had a high respect for the subject they were teaching. They had a high expectation for my involvement in their class. They had a high expectation for what a class and what being a part of a class should accomplish. And deep down inside of me, even though I was scared to death, and I think a lot of it was motivated by fear initially, I would get the most out of the class because I took it seriously. I'm sure as parents, you have similar challenges, right? I mean, you have a choice in parenting how you go about it, right? Some people become very, very, very strict, right? Similar to this teacher that I described to you, right? You're going to do this, and if you don't do this, blah, 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 you know, I mean, like, very, very strict. Have you seen those parents? Or maybe that's your parenting style, I'm not sure, right? Very, very strict. And the only problem with that is that it seems like whenever your kids aren't with you, right, then they kind of rebel a little bit. Or they're terrified that you'll find out, and they might, you know, get in trouble. The other type of parenting that seems to be popular today is that, oh, well, wait a minute, I'm just going to let my kids learn about responsibility early. So I'm just going to have hands off. You know, the kids are going to make their own choices and decide what they're going to do and be, and I'm just going to be a observe parent, and then when they need me, they can come to me, right? Well, obviously, that might have some problems too, right? I mean, that's like the extreme. I mean, if you can be extremely strict and you can be extremely hands off. I think the hard part is to be the kind of parent that teaches responsibility, right? Teaches your children to honor and respect you for being their parent. I mean, that's what Wendy was saying to the children in the children's time, right? Honor and revere your mother and father. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, right? But how do you teach your children to do that, right? And at the same time, not force them to do that or to instill fear in them? I pray for you. I think parenting is one of the hardest and most difficult challenges before you. But I think, similarly to what I said about power, the way to succeed is to be humble and to submit yourself to God and study what He has to teach you about how to live life. And then you may decide you can be a good parent. I think it's hard to be faithful to God. I wish I could tell you it was easy. But certainly studying acts with you is not that direction, right? I mean, I'm telling you that you might go to prison, right, for talking about him. You might end up in jail. You might end up stoned to death. You might end up in a very precarious situation in doing the right thing in life. And some people choose, instead of doing that, to risk all those things, to play it safe, to do the easy path, to do the easy road. But there are consequences for not doing what God wants you to do also. In December of 1893, this is a long time ago, there were three men, Walter Goins and Roland Bingham and Thomas Kent. And they decided that in Nigeria, they really wanted to witness to Christ, and they wanted to have a mission there. They wanted to establish it among 60 million people in Nigeria, which was known as the Sudan, the area south of the Sahara between the Niger River and the Nile. When Goins and Kent and Bingham got there, they were very young, in their early 20s. And Goins and Kent died in the very first months that they were there. And Bingham came home sort of defeated. But he formed a council. He was from Canada. And he prayed and prayed and prayed that God would use him. And in 1900, which is many years later, right, he went back. And it, too, was unsuccessful. And so then he came back home to Canada, and he prayed. He said, "Lord, you know, I went over the first time, and my two best buddies died. You know, I came back, and I worked for this whole effort to get a council together and go back over there and teach the message of Jesus, and it was unsuccessful." So 1 year later, Bingham sent a party over there and set up the first missions base at Pajiji, 500 miles up the Niger River. And to this day, their efforts are rewarded. When we obey God, sometimes it isn't an easy experience. Sometimes it seems maybe that it's fruitless, that there are no results for our type of work and investment. A wise and anonymous writer once shared, "It is not the multitude of hard duties, it is not constraint and contention that advance us in our Christian course. On the contrary, it is us yielding our wills to tread cheerfully each day, every day, in the path that God leads us. To seek nothing, to be discouraged by nothing, to seek out duty and service to God in all things." I would love to tell you that if you followed all the Ten Commandments and listened to the Bible and read it every day, that all would be easy and wonderful for you. And I know that many new Christians feel that sort of hope, right? They first come to love Jesus and they're like, "Oh, everything's going to be amazing and easy and God loves me and it's wonderful," right? And then life happens and it gets really tough. But let's take three things from these early disciples to encourage us. The first is they lived in and worshiped in a hostile society, which we actually live in a peaceful one to worship, right? Second, they were arrested and jailed overnight for preaching Christ. Third, they are brought before the Sanhedrin. They are flogged. I don't know if you know what that means, but it's not nice. And yet, they still did what God wanted them to do. In this particular situation, even though they lived in a hostile society, they had other Christian friends that welcomed them in a home that they worshiped and shared their resources together. Two, even though they were arrested and jailed, do you remember what happened? The angel came into the prison and opened the doors and set them free. Three, even though they were beaten in their body, even though they were beaten in their spirit sometimes, they did not sway from doing God's will. Over the years, there have been thousands of martyrs for the Christian faith. Stephen was stoned to death. James, the brother of John, was killed. We believe that probably 8 of the 12 disciples were brutally martyred for their faith. Here in the U.S., we are often spared persecution for a belief in Christ, but around the world, that is not the case. We need to recognize what a privilege it is to worship our God and to worship Him freely and to live a life where we honor Him. I think going back to parenting style, right? This is how God is with us. He could force us to believe in Him, right? He could say, okay, you know what, Wendy? I don't care what you want to do. You're going to love me. And I'm going to make you love me. I'm going to force you to be an obedient servant, right? God could say that. But how rewarding would that be, right? I mean, you can't, I mean, you know if you're a parent, right? You can't make your kid love you. You can only love them. They have to be who they are. And it's almost like God is saying to us, hey, look, I want you to obey my laws. Here they are for you, right? And if you do them, imagine if we all followed the Ten Commandments, how different life would be. Right? We wouldn't be jealous. We wouldn't be taking anybody's name in vain. We wouldn't be stealing. We wouldn't be murdering. It would be wonderful, right? He gives us these laws not to make us punished and beaten into submission. He gives us these laws because He loves us. And because we love Him, not out of force, not out of guilt, not out of fear, we respond in kind by giving over obedience to God. It's amazing when we read this story in Acts, because when they're asked why, even though you're being persecuted, even though you're being jailed, even though it's a tough time, why are you doing this? And their answer is, because we cannot not obey God over human authority. We must obey God. I hope that when you go home today, you'll think about what God might be calling you to do for Him. Whether it's to be a better spouse, whether it's to be a better parent, whether it's to be a stronger witness for Jesus Christ. Maybe it's to reach out to your neighbor who's kind of annoying and you really wish you didn't live next door to them, right? But to be nice to them. There was something going around Facebook this week that said, it was a cute little picture of an owl, and it said, be nice to mean and miserable people. And then it said, because they need it the most. Obey God. Listen to His voice. And know that why He wants you to do it is because He loves you. For now and forevermore.